I would invite your attention to two passages of Scripture. The first is found in the book of Numbers, chapter number 13 and verse 30. And then the second Scripture is in Joshua, chapter number 14, verses 10 through 12. We'll come back in a minute. Numbers 13 and verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." And in Joshua, beginning at verse number 10, "And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And particularly for the graduates, look at each other and say, "Yes, we can."
Yes, we can.
Amen, amen. Come on, do it again. Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
Amen. Be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. This message really is for all of us, but it is specifically directed to our graduates. All of us look for and work towards success. And whatever our endeavors in life we choose, we want to succeed. Amen. Amen. And I have good gospel news for all of you. Whether it be success in life, or that you be all that God has ordained for you to be, yes, we can. Amen. Can't you hear the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4:13? "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Or can you hear Caleb in verse 30? "For we are well able to overcome it." What Caleb was saying was, yes, we can. Now, just to give you the back story on this, the children of Israel are preparing to go into the promised land. And God has given Moses instructions to send 12 spies to spy out the land, bring back a report of how things are there. And the spies went over and they spied out the land. Two of those, of course, were Joshua and Caleb. But they took a man out of every tribe. And they went over and they viewed the land, and then they came back. 10 of them came back with an evil report, or they said, "Can't do it." And young folk in your lives, you're going to meet some folk who are going to tell you, "Can't do it." And oftentimes, they will be greater in number than those who say you can. But you've got to have the wisdom to know when you can. And when you can is when God says you can. Hallelujah. If God tells you you can do it, you can do it. Amen. Amen. But those 10, the Bible says, when they came back with an evil report, it struck fear in all of the people. All of a sudden now they're anticipating this land that flows with milk and honey, and they bring back the report of the Anakims and all of the giants in the land, and they began to cry. You got to watch how you hang with folk. Your peer group can get you in trouble.
That's right.
Amen. Watch who you hang with. The Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. Amen. You show folk who you hang with, I can show you your future. But that's another preaching. Amen. I want us to know first that you'll understand success when we talk about yes, we can, and we can achieve success. I want you to know what success is as we want to tell you about it. So let me give you a definition of success in accordance with what the Bible says. The Bible says success is the accomplishment of goals in life. It is the accomplishment of goals in life. There are personal goals and there are corporate goals. And many, like the ones that Caleb had, his personal goals were intertwined in the corporate goals of Israel. Amen. Amen. Moses has sent them. They come back with the report. Two of them, again, Joshua and Caleb, says, we can do it. And I want you to look at what happened in the life of Caleb and why he could say of a certainty, yes, we can. There are several rules that govern a person's life. Say rule one. Come on, say it loud. Rule one. Amen. This is interactive this morning. Rule one. Amen. Rule one is put God first. Put God first. Amen. Amen. In Numbers 14 and verse number 8, Caleb says, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And when you wholly in totality follow the Lord your God, amen, you will be successful. Amen, because he will guide your steps. Amen, amen. Well, if you need validation of that, Jesus, can we trust Jesus, the master teacher? Jesus says in Matthew 6 and verse 33, but seek ye first, come on, Bible scholars, fill in the blank, the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. And verse 33 have been preceded by talking about stuff. But he tells us, and all these things shall be added unto you. Whatever it is that you're looking for in life, put God first. And he will ensure that you get that you need. And can I tell you something? God knows how to come in and sift out some things. Because there are some things you ask for that you really don't need. And they're not beneficial to you. But because of the glitz and glamour of the times that we live in, sometimes we just want them. But God knows what we need. And God will ensure that you have everything that you need. And so rule number one, put God first. Rule number two. Say rule number two.
Rule number two.
Hallelujah. Y'all got it. Rule number two is follow the book. Amen. And when we talk about the book, there is only one book that can be characterized as the book. Amen. That's the B-I-B-L-E. Now, I recognize that in our modern times that we are so technologically advanced, we've got the word on iPads and iPods and cell phones and everything. But wherever you find the word, you follow the word. What God says, amen, we can do. If God said it, you can do it. It's kind of like, if God said it, you can go to the bank on what God says. Amen, amen. Follow the book, Numbers 13 and 30. And Caleb steeled the people before Moses. They're all excited and they're having all kinds of just hissy fits. And Caleb steals them and said, let us go up at once and possess it. Why should we be able to do that? Because God said it. When God tells you something, you can believe it. Part of the problem that these folk had is they either didn't know what God said or they failed to believe what God said. And actually, you're in trouble in either case. If you don't know what he says, you don't know what he has for you. But if you know what he says and you fail to follow what he says, willfully you're experiencing things you don't need to. But in Numbers 13, you who have Bibles, the Lord had spoken to Moses and said, beginning in verse 2, "Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel." Now see, when you read the Bible, you have to read the Bible. See, sometimes we read it, but we don't really read it. But when he says, amen, search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Amen. Now, when he says, I'm going to give it to you, amen, that's a promise, ever. No, you got that. Amen. You might not be living on it right now, but it's the same as if God said it, he's going to cause it to come to pass. God has said he's going to bless you going in. He's going to bless you coming out. What we have to do is to be able to trust what God says. And so my admonishment to you is, follow the book. Amen. The wise man, writing in Proverbs 30 and verse number 5, says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Young folk, you're beginning a journey in life. Put God first. Follow the book. Know that if God be for you, there can be none against you. It does not matter how it seems to be. But see, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death. You can't follow what seems like. If we get into the sensory realm, our perception can very often be wrong. There were 10 men that came back and said, no way can we go into that land. The people who are there are too strong for us to overcome them. But what they failed to bring into the equation was the fact that they had God fighting for them. Ah, now, when your life, amen, is wrapped up and tangled up in God, you realize that the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. See, a lot of Christians who are professors have not learned that. That the battle's not yours. It's the Lord's. I don't care what craziness that goes on in our society. I don't need to be getting all excited. I just simply need to submit myself to God. Amen. Resist the devil. And the devil has to flee. Amen. Amen. He's going to look for somebody else who's not praying. That was the message there. Amen. Amen. And so, put God first. Follow the book. Number three. Never give up.
Yes.
Amen. Never give up. I'm reminded. Sir Winston Churchill was Prime Minister of England. He was quite an orator.
Yes.
He was the one who brought England through the darkest hours of World War II.
Yes,
and he was going to make a speech at a war college. And all of these young military people were waiting with anticipation to hear this great orator speak. And when it came time for him to speak, the Prime Minister stood. He was a fairly round, rotund fella. He stood and he looked at all of the military people. He looked this way, he looked that way, took a step backward and said, never give up. Never give up.
Yes.
Never give up.
Yes.
Never give up.
Yes, sir.
And then he said that. That was the message.
Amen.
And if we could ever get that message, never give up. Amen. In Joshua 14, in verses 7 and 8, you can hear Caleb saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, in verse 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren, now watch this. My brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt.
Yes.
But listen what Caleb says. But I wholly followed the Lord my God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not going to give up.
Amen.
If God promised this to me, God's going to cause it to come to pass. Now notice in verse 9. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever. Why? Because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And let me tell you something, folks. You want something, put some effort into it. Walk over it and claim it that God is going to give it to you.
Amen.
Amen. You're going to college? Amen. Go in knowing that I'm going to succeed.
Amen.
I'm going to come out with my degree. I'm going to work in a field that I can make a difference in the kingdom. So see, some folk, all they want to do is make money. But you see, if in fact you've got a job that blesses God,
amen,
you can make money and still do good.
Amen.
Amen. Money becomes the byproduct. I wish I had time to tell you. Money becomes the byproduct. Amen. See, too many folk work for money, and they don't realize that God has a purpose for their lives. And when you fulfill the purpose in your life, amen, can't you hear what he says in Matthew 6:33? Amen. If you seek me first, all the stuff will be added to you. Amen. You don't need to have to worry about two jobs, three jobs, or one day am I going to get something when I graduate. If you graduate and you're in the Lord, amen, God has something for you. Now see, sometimes we set our standards so low till we are not where God wants us to be. God wants you to soar with eagles and not scratch around in the dirt with chickens. Now, I don't know, many of you don't know about chickens. But see, chickens, really, they really can't have an extended flight. Amen. And so they've got wings, but they really can't fly very far. And so for many of them, then they are in the barnyard scratching in the dirt. And that's the way some folk are, not realizing where God has ordained that they should be.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
you
right.
Should, and the Bible said we should soar like eagles.
Right.
Amen. He says to Israel, I bore you on eagle's wings.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what God does. He takes us above all of the stuff of this world.
Amen.
And if you would just, amen, never give up. Don't look at it and say, I don't think I can make it. If we say, yes, we can, then yes, we can. Amen. For the Christian, the 12-ounce glass with 6 ounces is always half full.
Yeah.
Now see, there are those who look at it and they say, well, this is half empty. Amen. Your thought process need to change.
Yeah.
Amen. God will always provide all that you need. That's why he is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Amen. And let me just drop this in. See, I've been there, done that. I know that God will take care of those that are his. Amen. And it's not always how much money you make. It's what you do with the money you have. My father-in-law, worked as a night watchman at Braeburn Country Club for years. And he never made a whole lot of money. But he was able to buy 20 acres over on South Gessner. And that over 20 years ago, it was sold for over $1 million. This is a man who was a night watchman that only had a few nickels to rub together. But he trusted in God, that God would provide everything that he needed.
Amen.
And he was never without an offering. And then you can look at my wife and tell she ain't missed many meals. Amen. Amen. When she came to live with me, we just kept on feeding her. Hallelujah. But God will provide everything that you need. We just have to learn how to trust him. Now, you know, we like to say, oh, I trust the Lord in everything. Yeah, we say that. But when push comes to shove, you can't make yourself, amen, whole. You need him in your life. Amen. Because the things that you think you need to do, the Lord is saying, we don't need that. All we need to do is trust him. Well, let me give you an example. Extreme, but an example. There was a need to pay the temple tax. And Jesus and his disciples were on the road all the time. And so they didn't have a whole bunch of money. And Brother Peter says, I need to pay my taxes. The Lord said, go down and go fishing. That's what you used to do. Go down and go fishing.
Yes.
And the first fish you catch, you open his mouth and there's going to be money there. Now, not only pay your taxes, but pay mine too. Now, that says something because Jesus paid taxes.
Yes.
Now, that's for the one who thinks he's slick, but I'm saying. Amen. I already shall find you.
Amen.
But what I'm trying to get you to see is, he's not necessarily going to send you a blessing in a fish's mouth, but he will provide for you for that you need. You never need to try to make my way. You can't make your way. You know, one of the errors of life is that we say we want to make ends meet.
Yes.
Ends can't meet.
That's right.
Amen. Only God can take care of those that are his. What Caleb said in all of this, yes, we can. We can succeed. But let me just drop another thought on you. And it's found in Galatians 6 and verse number 9. This is to all of us. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For we shall reap in due season if we faint not. Now, God sets the due season. And so sometimes we go through life in lean times. But when we're in lean times, as long as I know I am in the will of God, amen, just keep on doing what's right. Because God is going to take care of you. Hallelujah. And my number four, I'm almost done. Number four.
Yes, sir.
Number four. Number four. Say number four.
Number four.
Seek the goal. We're talking about having a goal. Seek the goal. Actively pursue the goal. In Joshua 14, again in verse number 10, Caleb says, and now behold, look, the Lord has kept me alive as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years. That young people is 85 years old.
Yes.
Caleb says, I'm as strong now as I was 45 years ago.
Yes.
When the Lord commissioned me. And I've got the same goal in sight. I'm looking at that mountain. You see, there are those who would look for a desert place.
Yes.
Because it's easy to accomplish.
Yes, sir. Yes.
But Caleb said, Lord, give me this mountain.
Yes.
Because when I walked on it, I knew there were some things I'd have to deal with. There were the Anakins there. And you know what? They were still there. But here's an 85-year-old man that says, I am going to depose them because they are sitting on my property. For some of you, those of the world, they are sitting in your office.
Yes, yes.
Amen. They are running your company.
That's right. That's your building.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. As a nurse, that you got somebody that's the head nurse, that's your position.
Yes.
Amen. Keep your focus on your goal.
Yes.
Amen. Does not matter who's sitting there. Amen. In due time, God will give you what is yours.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. You see, Caleb had said, for 45 years, I paid my dues. I kept focused on the goal. I didn't lose sight on what God had said. You know, sometimes time has a way of causing us to quit focusing on that we believe in.
Yes.
After 10 years, you say, well, I'm not there yet. I might as well quit. No. If God promised you that he would be with you and he would cause you to prosper, then you wait on the Lord.
Right.
Amen. Because if God be for you, young folk, there is none who can be against you. Amen. And so Caleb could say, give me this mountain. And I love the fact that he said, give me the mountain. Give me something that is hard. Amen. Too many of us, we look for that is easy. But we will search out that is hard, because we know that if God is for us, we can do it. Yes, we can. Now, I want you to be mindful that as you go, there will be hindrances.
That's right.
There will be hindrances. Hindrance number one is unbelief. Unbelief is internal. You control that.
That's right.
You can believe or not believe. The choice is yours.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Too often, simply because we don't see the Lexus on the driveway, we think we are consigned to driving a Ford Tempo all of our life. Well, continue to drive a Ford Tempo till you get some Lexus money.
That's right. Amen.
They don't hear me. We want to come out of college and start at the top. Amen. You continue to drive the tempo until you get Lexus money. Amen. And it's not that you're looking for pride and prestige, but God wants you to have the best. We serve a God who is the best. He wants for his children the best. God never subscribed to that do. Now we do. We subscribe to that. I could preach this for about 5 hours, but I'll cut it off in a little bit. We do that in terms of selecting mates.
That's right.
We select a mate based on settling. Don't you know? God has somebody just for you.
That's right.
And amen. And the first person that comes along is not necessarily that person.
That's right.
Now it could be, but it's not necessarily. You don't have to feel like I got to catch this train because there's not another one coming.
That's
right. Let me tell you something, there's always another train coming.
Amen.
Amen.
I tell folk all the time. Sister Jones had been married before. But along in her life came tall, dark, and handsome. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And now see, I'm making it a little hilarious, but I want you to get this. And come June 13th, we will have been married 60 years. Because I was her husband. Amen. I was the one that God had for her. But see, sometimes we will just select. We fail to recognize that's who I want. But that's not necessarily who God wants for me. And you know, the word tells you to be not unequally yoked. Unequally yoked. See, part of a problem that young folk have, you will meet folk at the, let's say, I don't know what they call them now, it used to be the disco, the club, Thank you, my resident authority on floods. And so you're just so happy because, listen, if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus, you really have no business dating Sweet Lucy from the club. That's to you fellas. You young ladies, you have no business dating Bobo from the club. That relationship can only result in being unequally.
Amen.
That's right.
You want to go to church and he's telling you about, I got a game and I want to go to this and I'm going. You know, when you get into that selfish thing, which is really something you need to look for, you're looking at somebody, be sure that most of their conversation is not with I. But that's another story. Unbelief. You can control unbelief. Amen. You can focus on the God of the universe, the one who has promised you that yes, you can. But it's conditional on you being obedient to what he says. But then let me show you, because not only do you have unbelief as a hindrance, but you've also got your enemies.
That's right.
Your enemy. And you know, just because you're a Christian, that doesn't make everybody just love you. In fact, the very fact that you're a Christian will cause some folk not to like you. Amen. Amen. But in Micah 5 and 9, the word said, thine hand shall be lift up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. You don't have to worry about your enemy. You got someone who's got your back. And as long as you know that he has your back,
right,
amen, everything is well. Now, I want to close with this, but I want to make a point. Back in the 60s, our first son, Chester, was quite a football player at Robert E. Lee. He was great. He got a full ride to Hofstra University on Long Island in New York. All expenses paid. And so when he got ready to go, I set him down. I said, Chester, let me tell you, the school is going to use you. But that's okay. Because when you go, you use them.
That's right.
While they want you to play football, you get an education.
That's right.
So when you leave from there, you're prepared to go into the world and do something. Well, you see, you got to be careful because the world has a way of seducing you.
That's right.
Amen. He got there and he was a big man on campus.
Yes.
Quit going to class. Had somebody do his test, do whatever was necessary. Spent 4 years and came out with no degree. They used him, but he didn't use them. Amen. You see, the Lord gives you wisdom.
That's right.
You have something that they can use. But they've got something that you need.
That's right.
And in exchange for what you're able to do for them, amen, you come out of there with your degree. Ensure that when you leave, amen, it is mutually we have used each other.
That's
right. Amen. Do not walk out of there and say, well, I tried. No, you didn't. Because that's why we're telling you, yes, you can. You can be an athlete and still you can get your degree.
That's right.
Amen. But you see, the lure of the world, and for young fellows who just out of high school, got all these girls, Reverend, that just seduce their mind. They don't have sense enough to know that there's a population right now of almost 7 billion folk.
That's right.
And over 50% of them are women.
That's right.
So you ain't got
nowhere.
All right. Look at each other again. Said, friend.
Friend.
Yes, we can.
Yes.
Gratis, we're looking for something big from you.
That's right.
Amen. You're the ones who are going to change the demographics of this world. Amen. Amen. We talk about how things are. Well, the way things are is not necessarily the way they have to remain. When God takes people of integrity and put them into the world, they can change this world. And yes, we can. Amen. Yes, we can. We can learn civility. We can learn the need. You know, I was listening. I'm trying to quit. I was listening at, rather looking at, the Civil War, about the Civil War. Do you know more people were killed in that than in many of the major wars? Because people had a problem and people tried to own other folk.
That's right. That's right.
God never intended for a person to be the owner of another person.
That's right.
But in the midst of all of that, there was such dignity out of slaves. What am I saying? If you will simply humble yourself and let God shine through you, you can do all things because He will strengthen you for the task. We're done. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're done. We call it standing witness to the church. Today is the day of salvation, not acceptable time.